From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. As part of our ongoing coverage from Into Action, the pop-up art exhibit and conference that took place in Los Angeles from January 13th through 21st, we'll turn next to acclaimed artist and activist Fabiana Rodriguez. Rodriguez is best known for her powerful and political art that has taken on such issues as undocumented immigrants, reproductive justice for women, income inequality, and much more. Based in California's Bay Area, she has built up an artistic career that began outside the confines of the establishment art world. She was one of several curators that helped put together the powerful art show at Into Action, and I had a chance to speak with her at the pop-up event about the exhibit, the role of art in movements, and the challenges facing artists of color in particular.
My name is Fabiana Rodriguez, and I'm an artist and activist, and I'm the co-curator for Into Action, and my organization Culture Strike is the beneficiary of the proceeds.
So, Fabiana, there has been such a tremendous amount of interest in the art at
yes.
Into Action. It's almost as important, maybe even more important than the content of the panels, because it's a tremendous collection of art. Tell me a little bit about the role you played, along with a few other artists, to curate this beautiful exhibit.
So first is that this gathering is really to celebrate the power of the arts. And what's beautiful about artwork in general, whether it's music or visual art, is really brings people together and allows people to imagine. And so in a way, the art is what's pulled people here, because people want to see the work. They also want to hear from the musicians. They want to be in an environment where they feel like there's positivity. And so what we believe as artists is that cultural change precedes political change, and that we need venues, cultural venues, that are all the disciplines, all the artistic disciplines, in order to gather people together. And I think, you know, often in our social justice space, we're very much about the head, about the intellectual conversations or the panels, but we forget that the power of what brings people together is the possibility to imagine a different future. And we really believe that as artists, all the people involved in this are very much supporters of the arts. We are grounded in the idea that art is for everyone, and that art is the foundation of social movements. And so for us, the art was a very critical component of this. This whole gathering is about art. And so what I love is that we use this moment to also collaborate with local community groups, movements, so that they also had a place to present and share their work. And it's been such a really beautiful combination, because people get to look at art, you know, they get to hang out with their kids, get like a story read to them, they get to make something, they get to take posters, and then they can also be educated on something that they didn't know, perhaps. So I really see that people just are so gravitated, like culture really brings us together. And it's a free event, you know, and what's also the proceeds are going to a few organizations. We're one of the organizations, and we support undocumented artists. But also that part of this is that we're lifting the stories of people who are traditionally left out.
So the fact that culture draws people in is so critical, because some of the organizations that have their setup here have done it artistically. They've used a visual aspect, installations, to draw people in and to tell the story, whereas normally when you'd have an organization at a conference, they would just set up a table, put some flyers up, and boom, maybe some buttons or bumper stickers.
Well, it's great, and this is what I love about the arts, is that the arts brings out a level of participation that is it's so much more effective than just having a press conference or doing a report. And I believe the arts is about all our senses, that when we learn, when we're seeing or feeling or interacting, that we're learning in a different way than besides just receiving information. So I think it also pushes the organizations to really understand, what experience am I creating for people? Like, what am I making them feel? What are the colors that I'm creating making them feel? How do I make this inviting to young people, or to people who may not know the granular aspects of the politics, but who in their heart know that they want to belong, you know? And so I've been really excited to just see how different grassroots organizations are totally taking over this space. It's a platform for them. And for artists, it's a place for us to show our work. You know, right. we rarely get the ability to show this level of work in this size and for free.
Yeah. I mean, it's a museum quality setup.
Of course, because
art is museum quality art.
Yeah, and the reason for that is because in reality, you know, museums, a lot of our communities are not going them anywhere, and this is the problem with white supremacy. Is white supremacy is very active in the arts, whether it's dance, performance, literature, every single cultural expression is dominated by white men who have actually created institutions that don't not only include us, they don't tell our stories, they're not inviting. And so now when people ask themselves, well, why is museum attendance so low? Well, it's because the only people of color in your museums are people working in the kitchen or cleaning or doing the security. And this is how cultural segregation works, is that we don't have access to things that actually belong to us as a society. And so we pay very special attention to create environments that are really high quality, because artists also need a strong platform, and we want to treat our artists right. We want to do things in a way that really helps people feel valued, because we're investing in the experience.
So can you throw out some of the names of the artists that are represented? Obviously, your own work is there. Shepherd Fairey is a big name there. Mir One's work is there. So what are some of the pieces that jump out for you?
Yeah, so one of the pieces that jumps out for me is a series called Queer Icons by Gabriel Garcia Roman, and he's a printmaker. And he does a piece, for example, on an activist, Kay, who is a disability justice advocate and who really fights against the gender binary. There's also artists like Micah Bazant, a trans artist who works on a lot of issues reflecting and uplifting the stories of trans heroes who are so often just not really included in the narrative. We also have artists like Ernesto Llerena, who's from Los Angeles. Julio Salgado, an undocumented queer artist who has, you know, a lot of these artists in our ranks, they haven't gone to art school necessarily, but they're so hungry to express their truth. And, you know,
in a just world, they could have gone to art school.
Exactly. In a just world, they could have. But this is the problem with cultural inequity, is that a lot of people don't end up having access to be able to tell
art school, unfortunately, is a luxury still for a lot.
It's a luxury. I mean, the most expensive schools in this country are art schools, and if you look at their diversity numbers, it's ridiculous. But also Michelle Pred, who did purses that say things like resist, you know, equality. So there's just, you know, there's a really great group of artists. We've really worked to be inclusive. We've included artists at all levels, emerging artists, established artists, mid-career artists, young people. There's a lot of young folks. And that's part of the reason why also we opened up the process to the public process, just so that we make sure that we're including people that we may not know about.
So what are some of the things that you would tell a young aspiring artist? Because sometimes all that somebody with talent lacks is confidence.
Yes.
And, you know, we all know, anybody who's been an artist knows that it takes a long time to develop your own confidence.
Yes. So first, I want to say that there is a system that purposefully does not lift up stories of people marginalized. It's not you as a person, it's a system. And it's very important to recognize that, because when we recognize that, we understand that it's not that we don't have good stories, it's that the infrastructure to support and uplift our stories is just not there. So I think that what it requires is confidence, and also really love to understand that when we tell a story, we are putting a stake in the ground. We are recording history, whether it's a book, a poem, a song, that to create an object that reflects our experience begins to build a library of culture that is gonna last beyond our life. And this is so critical, because in my life, I am the first generation who can be an artist. Because my family, because slavery affected poverty. If I go down the generations, all of these things made it. Or just being a woman, an immigrant woman like my mom was. And so I'm the first generation who can talk about things like openly talk about my abortion, talk about what racism, how it's impacted me, climate change, dirty air, fast food, all of these things. And I'm able to have an intersectional lens, but it's because so many generations before fought just for survival. And so I think it's very important for those of us who can be artists to understand that it is, unfortunately in our world, it's a privilege to be able to take your pen to your paper or to spend time in your studio or to write poetry. But it is also the way we create new myths. And we need new myths. We really need to create another kind of story of how we belong. Because otherwise, the next generation, you know, they're not gonna have that content. And they're not gonna have those stories. They're just not gonna be written, they're not gonna be published. And I would add that in addition to confidence and really understanding the importance of people telling their stories through the arts, is that people have to fight for cultural equity. We have to recognize that it's not acceptable anymore to go to the movie theater and see 90% white actors. It's not acceptable to walk into a museum and not see any Asian or Latino artists. It's just, that's not the world we live in anymore. And I think we have to begin to name that, complain to our museums, our ballets, or all these places and say, hey, it doesn't fly anymore.
So Fabiana, how can people get involved with Culture Strike? Where can they see and find your beautiful art?
Well, you can see my artwork on my website, fabiana.com. I'm also on social media, on Instagram. I'm the most active, and I'm Fabiana1, with a V and two N's. And then my organization, Culture Strike, culturestrike.org. We work on addressing arts equity. We especially work on supporting immigrant artists, artists of color, transgender artists, gender nonconforming artists. We believe that we need to train the next generation of artists who are not just going to make great work, but we're going to build power and institutions.
Thank you, Fabiana.
Thank you.
My guest has been Fabiana Rodriguez, director of Culture Strike, an acclaimed artist and activist, and we've been discussing the art exhibit that she co-curated at the Into Action pop-up event in Los Angeles, as well as the root of art in movements and the challenges facing artists of color. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.